Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one material page of Talmud each day. So these last few pages we've been reading, as you know, found the rabbis talking about objects lost and found. And on today's page, Bava Metzia 29, they're asking a rather obvious question. Say you find a lost item. What's your obligation to take care of it? Have a listen. The Gemara suggests, let us say that this shall be a conclusive refutation of the statement of Rav Yosef, as it was stated, that there is an Amoraic dispute with regard to the legal status of a Bailey charged with safeguarding a lost item. Rabbah said, his legal status is like that of an unpaid Bailey, who is liable to compensate the owner of the deposited item only in cases of negligence. Rav Yosef said, his legal status is like that of a paid Bailey, who is liable to compensate the owner of the deposited item even in cases of theft or loss. When the Mishnah teaches that if the finder did not use the money, everyone agrees that he is exempt from paying restitution for its loss, if it apparently contradicts the statement of Rav Yosef. The rabbis, in other words, are arguing about just what is the status of someone who finds something that was lost and whether or not that person can benefit from this object and what exactly are that person's obligations and responsibilities. It's a fascinating discussion, but at its core is a profound and understated insight. We must take very, very good care of our stuff. These days, it's a bit of a radical statement. We live in a disposable age when it's much easier to simply toss something broken aside and buy a cheap replacement on Amazon or elsewhere online. Gone are the days when people made a living repairing TVs, say, or radio sets. If your flat-screen 36-inch set is busted, just go online and order yourself an upgraded brand-new 60-inch beauty. But living like this, the rabbis tell us, betrays a profound and subtle obligation we have, the obligation to take care of things, not just lost things we find and safekeep, but by extension, our own things as well. In a recent and delightfully provocative essay, the writers Frederick and Marianne Brusset advocated for what they dubbed soulful materialism, citing the French Catholic priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who seems to have been riffing on the ancient Kabbalistic idea that animate and inanimate objects alike contain sparks of divine creation. They remind us that things have their within. Therefore, they argue, rather than treat our stuff as, well, stuff, we should develop an I-thou relationship with the things we own, appreciating our objects for the joy and sustenance that they bring us. The Sufi sages, they remind us, have a practice called adab, which sees objects as possessing emanations of emotional and spiritual energies, which is why dervishes, say, kiss the tea glass from which they drink or the carpet on which they have just prayed. They do so because they realize that the teacup isn't just a teacup. It's the vessel that just brought them life-sustaining sweet drinks. And the rug isn't just a rug. It's the platform on which they just connected with their creator. It's why the dervishes also make sure they never say they put out a candle, but rather that they put it to rest, a subtle but beautiful distinction that gives the candle a sort of subjective beauty. This may sound like a lot of New Agey chatter to you, but consider for a moment Jewish tradition. We have our tefillin, those magnificent leather straps that are an intimate spiritual technology we wrap on our person every morning. And when we're done, before putting them away or putting them to rest, we kiss them in gratitude for connecting us to Hashem. And we light the Shabbat candles, closing our eyes and waving our hands to let their light and warmth and blessings in. We touch Torah scrolls in shul with our prayer books or the fringes of our tzitzit, our prayer shawl. We, too, are great believers in the innate sanctity of objects. How do we apply this idea in everyday life? The Russets have a list of quirky suggestions, from holding a welcoming ceremony for every new thing you buy to handing out excellent service awards each month to the objects that have served us exceptionally well. You don't have to go quite as far to get a brand new perspective on stuff. Just walk around your house, open some drawers, and ask yourself, if you see anything you haven't picked up in months, if so, consider recycling it or donating it or giving it away. And consider, too, giving a bit more love to those objects that have served you well. Don't toss that microwave oven when its door hinge, say, becomes loose. See if you can fix it first. Walk around the house looking at your things, not with an eye towards the use that they could bring you, but really with a different and new kind of appreciation. Or put bluntly, buy less and love more. Soulful materialism? That sounds like a pretty succinct motto for the Talmud itself. This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butney, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.